Hello, and welcome to Talk Steam to Me, a podcast by Spirax Sarco. We are the world's leaders in steam technology, offering the industry's most extensive range of products and services across a variety of industries. We create solutions that set the benchmark for steam-using organizations worldwide, working with you to improve productivity, save energy, and reduce waste.
Thanks for listening today to Episode 12 in our Talk Steam to Me podcast series. In this episode, Spirax Sarco steam experts Chris Rossi, Carl Williams, and Duncan Richards discuss how hospitals can achieve positive patient outcomes. The importance of humidification in the hospital was discussed. Our steam experts also covered steam quality and the importance of steam sterilization. If you have any questions about the topics mentioned in this episode, or if you'd like to speak to your local steam expert, get in touch today via our website at spirexsarco.com/US.
Welcome. My name is Chris Rossi, Product Manager for Packages and Solutions here with Spirax Sarco USA. With me today, I've got two of my colleagues from Steam Business Development over in our UK office, Duncan Richards and Carl Williams. Today, we're going to give you a little bit of an update on how Spirax Sarco can help hospitals and patient outcomes. So Carl, as an organization, how can Spirax help hospitals with their patient outcomes?
There's numerous ways where we can help hospitals as a sector. Some of those are very easy and you automatically think of them, like sterilization steam. That's something that's been done since 1885. And there's still no better way to sterilize surgical instruments than using steam. Other ways that we can help are your heating, your hot water, your humidification in hospitals. It's really important that we use the right quality steam for the right application, though, and that's sometimes missed. Yeah, nosocomial infections can be defined as those that an infection that you get within 48 hours of hospital admission, or 3 days of discharge, or 30 days of an operation. Those infections are things like you've gone in for an operation on your arm or somewhere, and you catch MRSA or another bug whilst you're in hospital. Globally, hospital-acquired infections are growing. So if I told you that globally there are over 313 million patients undergoing surgery every day, that's twice the amount of babies being born in the world every day. So we're doing twice as many surgeries as we are having new children. Those surgeries have problems with hospital-acquired infection because unsterile instruments or contaminated instruments and objects in the operation are a real risk. The other real risk that we can help with is humidification. And humidification is reared its head a lot lately because of COVID and coronavirus. So we know that with coronavirus, in a really dry environment, by coughing and sneezing and talking, that virus can stay in the air for up to 48 hours in a really dry environment. If you increase the humidification levels to between 40 and 60%, we're down to minutes of that virus staying in the air. That changes the whole thing. And it's the same with hospitals. If we can maintain a humidity level of between 40 and 60% throughout the hospital, you'll see infection rates will decrease. And that's because the bug itself grows larger because it takes on some of the moisture in the air and it falls to the floor. So we don't inhale it anymore. We don't digest it, which means we don't spread the virus as quickly. If we have a really dry air, it stays in the air a long time. If we have a lot of moisture in the air, this can cause other problems with diseases. So 40 to 60% is ideally what we want. And we don't need to have that throughout the hospital, but there are some certain points that we really should look at humidification in hospital, and that's in operating theatres, Some of the MRI suites want humidification between 40 and 60 because the equipment itself, electrostatic discharge, burns units. That's one place where we do want it drier. We don't want moisture being absorbed into the burns. So we tend to aim for 30, 35. And there's lots of other places. But scientific studies have concluded that 40 to 60% relative humidity is the optimum range to reduce the risk of airborne viruses. Another fact that's quite strange is that surgical site infections around the world are increasing. If we take the US, over 250,000 surgical site infections a year. Now, we've said that there's a lot of operations, but that causes longer post-operative hospital stays. According to a study, typically that's up to about over 5 days extra stay in hospital because you caught a hospital-acquired infection. And that can cause surgical procedures to be redone or may require intensive care. Not to scare anyone, but if we get the humidity correct, which we can help with, if we get the sterilization correct, that we can help with. Actually, biggest other one is training of the people. We can't help with that. But if we get the other two right, it's going to help patient outcomes.
So, Duncan, what Carl mentioned that there's different qualities of steam. What different qualities of steam can we help with?
All of them, of course. You know, we have the experience in plant steam, what I'm going to call filtered steam, and then in the healthcare sector, it's clean steam. And the one above that is something called pure steam. That doesn't really touch healthcare. So plant steam would be your normal grey steam or black steam that you use. One way of improving steam quality is to filter it. But if you're filtering it, then you're removing any solids, anything that is actually, you know, dissolved into the water will pass through. So the only way that we can really guarantee that you're getting, shall we call it clean steam, I'm happy with that, clean steam, is by a physical barrier between the plant steam and the water. You guarantee the cleanliness of the steam by the cleanliness of the water. So you're taking your water from a certain source, normally reverse osmosis water, RO water. Sometimes that's the only way of really doing clean steam that meets the requirements for AAMIST 79.
So speaking on the lines of clean steam, you know, many hospitals around the United States struggle to maintain sterile equipment within their hospitals. It's used in surgical suites. You know, obviously all the various different pieces of equipment have to be sterilized. A lot of them have frequent issues with sterilization cycles. We see it in the news all the time. You know, this hospital has been shut down for lack of surgical equipment. They can't process it. Their ORs are not remaining sterile. Which results in delays or cancellations of surgery. You know, it's a big revenue loss for the hospitals. Within that space, how is Spirex able to guide hospital customers into a pain-free sterilization?
It's interesting you use the word guide there because AAMIST 79 is a guidance in the US. In Europe and the UK, we have EN 285, which is a requirement. They're very, very similar in the requirements and what needs to be set out. So ST79 says that the steam must have a dryness fraction of 0.97, which is 97% dry. We need some moisture within the steam. Non-condensable gases, we need to minimize those as much as possible and take that down to 3.5% or below. Ideally, we don't want any superheating. We're allowed a maximum of 25 degrees C. And conductivity at 20 degrees C has to be less than 4.3 microsiemens per centimeter. But it's only a guidance in the US. In Europe, it's a requirement. It's a less requirement than the guidance in the US. But I think it's really important to try and aim for that guidance as much as possible. We need to use the right quality steam. As Duncan's mentioned, the correct quality water helps. And what we'd like to do is try and make sure that we're always hitting that target of 97% dryness.
Taking your point, Carl, within a sterilization cycle, there are peaks, there are troughs within the sterilization cycle. So, you know, you put a load in, it's a steam on time, then it's a purge, then it's a steam on time, then it's a purge. That's your standard cycle. And that load varies. You can get variations in steam quality as the load varies. So you need a method of generation that's been tested and proven on dynamic loads. What we found, or what I know from my 27 years of doing this, is that most other sterilizer manufacturers or clean steam manufacturers measure, I'm sure I'm right on this, they're measuring on static load, so they're measuring at one point in time. And it's not taking into account that variation you get as part of the cycle time of the process. This is one of the reasons that you have problems normally with sterilization, leading to things like wet packs or inaccurate control, having to rework them. I mean, Carl, you've seen quite a few wet packs in your time when you've been traveling around looking for hospitals.
Yeah, it's an interesting point about the sterilization cycles, because you can divide it into three, and those three stages are exactly what you said. We'll have a pulse of steam in, and then we'll create a vacuum, a pulse and a vacuum, a pulse and a vacuum. And we'll do that for 2 or 3 minutes, and then we'll do injection of steam. And this is when the real cleaning takes place, is when we're injecting the 97% dry or better steam into the autoclave. And then we create a vacuum, which is the drying cycle. So there's three main cycles there, but all of the guidance around the world measures on one point, doesn't measure throughout the whole cycle. What we've managed to do when we've created our new clean steam generator, which is designed specifically for healthcare sterilization, is we've ensured that we stay above that 97% dryness throughout the complete cycle. So the cycle is typically anything from 12 to 25 minutes, depending what you're sterilizing. We've made sure that we stay above that dryness fraction and above all the requirements for the complete cycle. And I think that's where we differ.
Absolutely. We got data early on when we were looking at it, and it was supplied from one of the largest hospitals that we could find that we had a good relationship with. And they gave us their actual sterilization loads so that we could see exactly what was happening. And this was with, I think, 4 sterilizers on at the same time. So, working that CSSD really, really hard so that we got a real picture of what actually happens in the hospital and how operators who aren't steam experts are using the equipment. And we went and asked them many questions about what their pain points were and why they did things in certain ways. We really wanted, when we were doing the investigation trial, we really wanted to get in to the process and understand why they did things in a certain way.
It's important to understand that the dental services department don't have all the autoclaves on for 20 minutes and then all the autoclaves off. And so some may be on for the 20-minute cycle and some may be off, and then 10 minutes in, another one's added. And it's not organized when everything's going to go on. It can't be. So it's really important to have a dynamic load, which we've tested on. You're right, Duncan.
You know, this loading unloading is very ad hoc. When we observed it, we've had it confirmed from many different, just wherever you are in the world, it's all the same. And when you've got multiple units, multiple sterilization units, the ideal thing is to have a separate steam supply rather than there are some that do piggyback type steam, which if that steam supply goes down, that sterilizer is out of use. Completely, you've probably got to throw it away, or so do some major work, and it's underneath, and it's in a safe, it's in a clean area, so you've probably got to take it back out to actually do the maintenance, or you'd have to shut the whole unit down while you're maintaining, and then sterilize again before you can start it back up again, or you know, do the cleaning operations. So, you know, this is why we say that a separate steam source is almost essential if you've got multiple sterilizers within your CSSD.
So I know for me, in my own, here in the United States, a lot of our hospital customers, they struggle to even know when they have poor clean steam quality. And it's not even just that, you know, the only time they may recognize the fact that their clean steam quality is below what they need is when they start to experience wetbacks.
Yep.
And so, to that point, what other avenues can Spirex help our customers not only confirm what their steam quality is, but drive them to a point where they're actually correctly sterilizing their surgical equipment?
It's an interesting point in that steam quality testing is something we've done for years, but we've never had an official certification. And I don't know of anybody in the world that's got an official certification to do steam quality testing, which is why we created a new course on steam quality testing so that our service engineers can go into hospitals and pharmaceutical sites and test that steam quality to the same standard, whether we're in the UK, the US, or China, or Korea. It doesn't matter. We will test for the same quality and give the same feedback, the same report, wherever we go.
This course is absolutely fantastic as well. It's a City and Guilds accredited course. So it's one that we helped to create, but we also had it externally verified by people that, you know, by the experts, by people like Honeyman or whatever, that have done, that do this all day, every day. But they said, well, you're doing a very specific job within water quality. But at the end of the day, the quality of the water dictates the quality of the steam, allied to the way that the heat transfer is applied in the generator. And you know that to me is a unique selling point. It's an identifier of our expertise within that very, very niche field.
And it is a niche field. It's something that's becoming more and more prevalent. More and more people are asking for it. I know the requirements change globally, in that some will say that you need to test your steam quality once a year, some are once a quarter. Ideally, you'd want continuous testing of that. But at the moment, nobody has anything that continuously measure and quantify the quality of that steam. So the best you can do is to test it regularly, often, and ensure that your steam is being made to the best quality that you need to provide.
Yeah, I know. We found that out when we were here this week, didn't we, Carl? We were talking to some of the guys. Apparently the VA have now put a mandate in that steam quality happens once a quarter.
Yep, once a quarter.
So, you know, that's a big step. It's a huge acknowledgement by the customer base of the importance of that action and doing that test. And I presume it's come from problems, from issues that have happened. So, like you say, poorly sterilized equipment or wet packs or, you know, surgeries having to be cancelled, all of those things, you know, what the hospital definition of a good patient outcome is them going back out the same door they came in. You know, they don't want to add any infections in while they're in hospital. And obviously we all really want people to be coming out in a better condition than they went in.
Of course. So final question, Carl, in your own words, what sets Spirex Sarco apart as a full service solution provider within the steam sterilization space?
We interviewed over 90 customers in the hospital market. We had 1,500 answers to the We've developed a product specifically for them to meet their pains and make their job easier. And I think lots of people have created clean steam generators, but nobody's looked at actually what does the customer require. It's the largest exercise Spirex have ever done in finding out exactly what the customer requires before we start to make a new product. We've had over 15,000 hours of testing on the product. We've had 20 different countries involved giving feedback. We believe this product is probably our most accurate product on sterilization we've ever had.
So to that point, you mentioned testing. Duncan, I know you were very heavily involved during the not only the ideation phase, but the testing of the product. What out of all the results that we found during those 15,000 hours of testing, what did you find as the result that maybe not shocked you the most, but showed the most satisfaction out of all the work that was put into that project?
Hitting the 97% dryness in varying loads was such a game changer. And, you know, we've been shouting about it since we released the product in 2019. Into the European market. You know, it's now becoming available in the American market. But you know, that we developed a test rig specifically to test the operation of it, which no one else has got. So, you know, I can guarantee that's right. And you know, it's at the end of the day, we just want people to be well. We want people to, you know, We're about safety. We're about enhancing the patient outcomes, causing fewer pains for the hospital guys. So you know, I'm 110% convinced we've delivered something that really makes a difference within that field.
So I can say thank you to Carl and Duncan for coming on the podcast today. I think we've a lot of great information. I think we had a lot of good questions. If you would like more information, please get in touch with your local Spirex Sarco Steam expert, and we'll see you on the next one.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed this podcast and join us again soon. If you have any questions about the content covered in this podcast, please reach out to us or your local Spirex Sarco engineer at www.spirexsarco.com/US. Follow Spirex Sarco USA on LinkedIn and watch for future episodes coming online soon.